welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome back to WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. And this is the Refresh Radio Program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, who is the sponsor of this program. We would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing there. It's not the biggest church around, but I tell you, you're going to be hard-pressed to find a better group of people, and we'd love to have you come and be a part of that. I want to say thank you today to another company that helps us here to bring you this program on a daily basis. They've been mentioned here on the radio program for nearly 9 years now, and that's Jits Concrete. Their phone number is 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. I know that they have done what I would consider some small projects. I know that they have done some medium-sized projects, and I know that they have done some large projects. This is not a fly-by-night group of people. They have been around Brevard County, and their handiwork has created foundations for some numerous buildings here in the central part of the county. I've told you before, the greatest compliment that I ever heard from them is when a contractor told me, he said, my concrete guy is your concrete guy. And I happen to know that contractor pretty well, and he's just not going to put up with subpar work. So if you want your job done by people with decades of experience, who have the great work ethic, and they have the expertise to get the job done right and done on time and done well, give them a call, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. One time I was praying, I was doing something at the church. It was a project involving ceiling tiles. I don't remember what was going on, and as I got into it, I said, God, I really don't even have the greatest amount of construction experience in the world, but I know that that's not the right way for that to be done. I said, why did they do it that way? And, you know, this goes back 20 years or so. So the church had probably been there 50 years, this is what I felt like God said to me. He said, the people that had the do-how didn't have the know-how, but the people with the know-how didn't have the do-how. But the people who did it got it done. And it's like, you know what? I can buy that answer, because there are a lot of times where people who should be able to do something won't do it. There are other times when people will do it, but they don't necessarily have the expertise to do that. I pray that you will utilize your giftings for the glory of God, because there's no substitute in the body of Christ for you. You are essential to the body of Christ. The giftings and the call of God upon your life, God's not changing his mind. He didn't make a mistake. So I pray that you would get actively involved in your church. If you don't have a church, Merritt Assembly of God would love to have you come and be a part of the congregation, because we are seeking to be a blessing to Merritt Island, Central Brevard County, and Brevard County as a whole. So come and be a part of that, and we would be greatly blessed by your presence. So Job chapter 39, we're going to begin reading today in verse number 26 and go down through the end of the chapter. And I don't know if this may have been the most amount of time you've ever spent in the book of Job. You may have been one of those books that you bypassed because a lot of people just don't take time to dig into the Word of God in some of the areas where they're not all that comfortable. And believe me, people are not comfortable talking about suffering. People are not comfortable talking about their own mortality. There are a lot of people who put off very important discussions simply because they feel like if they have that conversation, then that's going to increase the likelihood that you're going to experience that. I want to encourage you, put your house in order as early as possible. So it's almost a year ago now, I made my second trip to help my parents move. I'd moved my mom and my dad. This time I just moved my dad. And there was all sorts of stuff still to go through. After all of the culling that we had done the first time, there was still more. And so my wife and I, we made a decision that we were going to start going through all of our stuff, and we were going to put our house in order well before our parents had. That way there wouldn't be as much clutter, but it also would be a blessing to our families. They wouldn't have to go through all of that stuff if the rapture doesn't happen and they have to go through all of that when we're gone. So put your house in order. And that means if you don't have life insurance, guys, I want to encourage you, you know, talk to somebody, get your financial house in order so that your family is taken care of in case something happens to you. I'm just talking about wisdom principles here. And all of that ties in with where we're going to begin reading in Job 39, verse number 26. Does the hawk fly by your wisdom and spread its wings towards the south? Does the eagle mount up at your command and make its nest on high? On the rock it dwells and resides, on the crag of the rock and the stronghold. From there it spies out the prey. Its eyes observe from afar. Its young ones suck up blood, and where the slain are, there it is. So here we're talking, God is talking about the hawk and the eagle. And he says to Job, he said, does the hawk fly by your wisdom? Does the hawk fly by your wisdom? I've watched a lot of nature documentaries, and you know, one thing that I have found in almost every one of those is that somehow, mysteriously, these creatures, whether it be in the ocean or on land, that somehow they have just developed this wisdom through the years that salmon automatically know how to migrate right back to where they came from. I watched one about, orcas that would hunt in a very unique manner. There's others. And the thing is, they would say, this group has just, you know, come up with this wisdom on their own merit. And that's just simply overstating the issue at all. There are things that we can learn. There are principles that we can achieve as wisdom. There are things that a parent can teach a child, even in the realm of nature. But please understand that the Word of God says that there is wisdom that every creature operates by, and man is not the source of that wisdom. God is. So here, God asks Job in verses 26 through 30, does the animal kingdom function according to the wisdom you have provided it with? So I can tell you with great deal of certainty what would happen if a palmetto bug showed up at my front door knocked on the door, and my wife answered it, and the palmetto bug said, Mrs. Arthurs, could you give us the wisdom that we need in order to survive this day? That is the answer to that question is going to be not a resounding no, but it's going to be a thudding no. She's not interested in providing them with the wisdom that they need. She just wants them out of her house. But the animal kingdom, there is a tremendous wisdom in how they operate. I remember watching things about ants and things about, what type of wasp was it that was in the news here just not too long ago? The murder hornet or something like that. And that creatures had defense mechanisms and they were able to destroy those things from and keep them from devastating their hive and things like that. I want you to know God imparts wisdom. He imparts wisdom to you and I. There's a lowercase wisdom. There's a wisdom of this world, and God wants to provide us with spiritual wisdom. So he said, does the hawk fly by your wisdom and spread its wings to the south? Does the eagle mount up at your command? And I will tell you, not one time has a hawk or an eagle ever stopped and asked me for instructions. They have wisdom that is innate. It's part of their nature. It has been given to them by God. So I go out there and try and intentionally catch a fish with no excess, and yet I watch these birds that fly around in the air that swoop down and catch these fish with their claws while they are moving, and it's like they're better fishers than I am. Their choice is catch a fish or die of starvation. And God has given them a unique skill set and a unique form of wisdom on how they are supposed to survive. So God says, is nature beating down your door to gain your wisdom as to how they're supposed to function? The answer to that is a resounding no. That brings us to chapter 40. So remember, we are talking about the limitations of united opposition to God, and chapter 40 has this to say: moreover, the Lord answered Job, because Job had taken the position that he was more righteous than God. Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yet twice, but I will proceed no further. So God's next question for Job is, shall the one who contends with Almighty God correct Almighty God? Now, I have known people that in their arrogance, they felt like they had a better grasp on reality than what God does. Listen, there's a lot of questions here that God asks Job, and there's a lot of people in modern times that the answer is, yes, I do. There are a lot of people who think that they have a greater moral standard than God does. They feel as if they have a better grasp on what is righteous than what God does. Man has always tried to create a righteous standard of his own, but that standard is always inferior. It always works out to that person's advantage and every other person's disadvantage. If you contend with God, you are never going to come away saying that you have corrected God. I have this saying, if you're ever in a debate with God and you win, you lost. But if you lost the debate, you can win. When you are ready and willing and able to say that God is right and you are wrong, at that point in time, you will find yourself not in opposition to God, but you will find yourself as an ally with God, and God as an ally with you. The problem is, people hate to admit that they're wrong. I know people who just are about as close to not being able to admit that they were wrong as you can possibly be. I knew a person a long time ago that if you had a disagreement with them, the only way that that disagreement was ever going to end was when you said, okay, fine, you're right. You couldn't say, well, let's agree to disagree. You couldn't say that. That wasn't acceptable. And they were never going to admit that they were wrong. The only way that a discussion could end where there were two different points of view is you said, okay, fine, you're right. You're right. Not me, not my wife, not anybody in our family. But, you know, there's an old Happy Days episode where Fonzie was wrong and he was supposed to say that he was wrong to Richie Cunningham. And he was like, he just couldn't bring himself to do it. It is the epitome of arrogance to ever think that you are correct and God is wrong. The devil, one of his great mistakes is he said, I can be like God. He couldn't be any further from God. He doesn't have the heart of God, doesn't have the character of God, doesn't have the power of God. There's nothing that the devil has that is anywhere remotely close to God, and yet he thinks that he can correct God. I have a few pet peeves. One of them is whenever a young child tries to correct their parent. That just instantly rubs me the wrong way. And no, I'm not I'm not talking about my children here. Whenever there were discussions like that at our house, it's not like I've never apologized to my children. We apologize to our children all the time. If we did something wrong, whoops, sorry, my bad. Forgive me. Had no problem doing that whatsoever. But there was a video that went around some time ago about a young child, and he was correcting his mother by her name and saying, you're not listening to me. You're not listening to me. And so the rule at our house was whenever my kids said, well, why do we have to do that? It was this, because I said so. That's the best reason I know and the only one that you need at this point in time. We wanted to teach our children to respond in an obedient manner. And we explained this to them because if you are doing something and there is a projectile or a car that's coming and you don't see that car, you may not have time to debate whether or not you're going to obey. So we taught them to obey first, and the explanation would be more evident later. So God says, shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? So the next time that you're struggling with God, remember, he's omnipotent. You're not. Remember, he knows everything. You don't. Remember, he's omnipresent geographically and chronologically, and you're not. So our perspective is insufficient. Our power is insufficient, and our problem-solving skills are insufficient. We are at a complete disadvantage anytime we're in a argument with God. So shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it. And so in verse number 3, Job begins to respond, but it doesn't last long. Here's what Job said. Verse 4, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further. Now, one of the best pieces of advice that I've ever been given and I can give to other people is whenever you're in a hole, stop digging. Stop digging. You don't want to make the problem worse. And so Job, his response when he comes face to face with God and his holiness, and he comes face to face with his own unholy nature compared with God's, his response is this: I am vile. Job was the most righteous person on the earth at that point in time. And when he compared himself with God, he said, I am vile. When Isaiah had an encounter with God and they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, Isaiah's response was, I am unclean and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. So I have two drawers that I want to talk to you about. I have my sock drawer and I have my t-shirt drawer. I have some white t-shirts that I wear underneath my dress shirts, and then I have some socks that the last time that my wife and I were away, we found an outlet mall and they had socks that were on sale, and so I bought some to replace the socks that I had in my drawer that were getting a little scarce. There weren't very many of them anymore. And here's what happened. When I brought the new socks home and compared them with the old socks, both of which were white, I discovered that the new sock was considerably brighter in whiteness than the old sock. And I can tell you from the t-shirt drawer that there are some t-shirts that have been at the bottom of the pile because I do my laundry and I just throw the clean t-shirt on top of the t-shirts that are. So there are some that are still as clean and as bright as the day I opened them out of the package, because I very rarely get that far down into the supply. And when you compare those with the ones that I wear frequently, you recognize that they're a lot more dingy towards the top than they are towards the bottom. Here's the number one thing that I hear people say when confronted with their need for Jesus to forgive them of their sins and be the Lord of their life. They say, but I'm a good person. Well, if you had asked me, my old socks were white. My t-shirts were white. But when compared with the appropriate standard, all of a sudden you realize not their whiteness, but their shortcomings, their inadequacies, their failures. You may compare yourself to me today, and you may come shining bright as can be. But I'm not the standard. The standard is Jesus. And so how do you stand in moral uprightness? How do you stand? How do you compare in relation to holiness and purity? How do you compare with wisdom and power, truth, consistency, faithfulness, fruitfulness? Have you stopped to compare? Because what happened when Job had a face-to-face with God? He said, I am vile. He said, I've got no answer for you. He said, in fact, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put my hand over my mouth. I am going to prevent myself. I am going to exercise self-control to the uttermost. I am not going to embarrass myself. I'm not going to insult you. I am going to control my tongue if that means I never have to say another word, because truly I have spoken out of turn, out of place, and spoken that which is not true. He said, I made the mistake once. Now listen to this. This is great wisdom. I'm not going to make the same mistake a second time. I heard somebody say one time, there's no lesson to be learned in the second kick of a mule. If you've ever been kicked by a mule or kicked by a cow or kicked by a pig or any of that sort of stuff, you don't ever want to experience that again. Well, I can tell you this. I hope that we as Christians have learned that arguing with God, debating with God, thinking that we're smarter than God, thinking that we're more righteous than God, I hope we've already learned that lesson. And we've said, I'm never going to do that again. I'm going to say, yes, Lord. Peter made the mistake of saying, no, Lord. Those two statements are incongruent. You cannot have him as Lord and be telling him no at the same time. I pray that today, if you've been arguing with God, you'll end the argument and say, yes, God, you're right, and I obey. See you next time, right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Imagine this, I get a phone call from Regis. It says, do you want to be a millionaire? They put me on the show and I win with two lifelines to spare. Now picture this, I act like nothing ever happened. They bury all the money in a coffee can. Well, I've been given more than Regis ever gave away. I was a dead man who